Today's gospel is a continuation from yesterday. Yesterday we read the genealogy, and you know it very well, 14 generations, all leading up to the arrival of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. But at the end of that genealogy, as you also know, there's this sudden shift. Father, until we get to Joseph. He's the only one in the list who's not a father. He's husband of Mary. So even though the genealogy culminates with Jesus Christ, on a natural level, you could say it culminates with Joseph. And today's gospel brings us to the story of Joseph. He was mentioned for the very first time at the end of yesterday's gospel. Now we delve into his personal experience of the arrival of the Messiah in the womb of his wife, who hasn't even lived with her yet, his betrothed. Now, we know the story of Joseph very well. We know that he is a craftsman, he's a righteous man, a good man. In fact, of all the list of names in yesterday's genealogy, Joseph is the greatest. Greater than David, greater than Abraham, but no one knew that, and Joseph himself didn't know it. But we know that he was planning to live with his wife, probably had dreams of a family. That whole plan, that dream got shattered with the news of her pregnancy. And then a new dream, the angel appearing to him in a dream, restores his hope, actually, to something even greater than he would ever have thought of. And he accepts it with faith. So we know this story of Joseph. We'll be reading this gospel again on Sunday. So if you're looking forward to, or if you're pondering groups are preparing for Sunday, this is also the gospel for this year, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Well, Joseph is a man who bears a lot of pondering. He's an extraordinary figure, but you have to dig in a little bit in order to get the richness of the gold. I'm happy to return to him now because we made a pilgrimage. When I was in the States, we made a pilgrimage to Canada to that famous shrine or oratory in honor of St. Joseph, the largest church in honor of St. Joseph in the whole world. So we had a chance to enter into the mystery of Joseph a little bit back in September. And now here we are doing it again. Joseph. But as happy as I am to ponder on Joseph, I was distracted last night and this morning by the news that came out of the Diocese of Imus. Maybe some of you heard this. Famous pulpit collapsed in an old Spanish church in Cavite. Anybody hear about this? Maragondo. You know Maragondo. When I saw that, I saw it in the international Catholic news. Probably this news service has a Filipino reporter. Anyway, and the title was 300-year-old pulpit collapses in the Philippines. So naturally I clicked on it because it was about the Philippines. Turns out to be here in Cavite. Maragondo is not far from Naik. Southwestern Cavite. So, and we were there in 2023 for our visita. You remember it? Yeah. I knew the name Maragondo stuck in my mind. I said, it seems to me we were there. 2023, visita Iglesia. So less than 3 years ago, we were at this old, beautiful Spanish church. And in the church, there is, or there was, up on the wall there, when you enter the church, it's up on the right side, about where that electric fan would be if it was in this chapel, a pulpit. You know, the old churches built before there was electricity and amplification. In order for the word of God to be heard, you had to have a place kind of centrally located and high up. And this pulpit was particularly beautiful, intricately carved wooden pulpit, decorated with gold leaf, and it was a very striking one. I don't remember it right away, but when I read about it, I said, that does sound familiar. Of course, all those old Spanish churches have very beautiful decoration. Anyway, so sometime a few days ago, before the Simbangabi started, this pulpit just fell off the wall and shattered on the floor of the church. And the first pictures I saw were just like pieces of wood, carved wood, gold wood, figures all shattered all over on the ground, and the pews are all in disarray. So I got to thinking about this pulpit. Now, some craftsman, some carpenter, probably a team of skilled carpenters worked a long time on that pulpit. They may not even have been educated. Maybe they couldn't read. But they knew, because anyone working on a church knows, this is for the Lord. And a pulpit in particular is for the Word. The whole purpose of it is at the service of the Word. So that the Word can be read, the Word can be proclaimed. Well, this is the pulpit here, the ambo. But in the old days, they used those elevated pulpits. So some craftsmen put their gifts at the service of the Word, and all of a sudden, it just collapsed, fell apart. So I don't know why that struck me, but I guess in pondering Joseph, that's sort of what happened to him, right? He's a craftsman. He's putting himself at the service of the Lord. He's a righteous man. He follows the law. He has intentions of establishing his family. Now, I know there are traditions that say he was consecrated as a virgin. There's other traditions that say he was an old man, all these things. We don't know. But from the scriptures, all we know about him is that he was betrothed to Mary, and they didn't live together yet, and she was pregnant. So, and that he's a righteous man. That's certainly in the gospel of today, a just man. But whatever his dream was, the whole thing got shattered, like that pulpit crashing to the ground. It was made a beautiful dream, and he definitely wanted to serve the Lord with his future, with his life, with his family. But it all got shattered. And God allowed this to happen. This is the thing that's striking me now, that God allows our lives to be shattered, our dreams to be shattered, our hopes to be shattered. It's not always a bad thing. In the case of Joseph, of course, it's the greatest thing that ever happened, but he didn't know that. So the experience is of being shattered by the invasion of God's contradictory plan. It's good to recall this, because when our lives are shattered, naturally we get angry at God, or we think he's turned against us, or maybe we have a crisis of faith because God didn't do what he was supposed to do. Someone died, someone got sick, I lost my job, there was an earthquake, a fire, or whatever, a flood, and everything collapsed. And we think, well, that can't possibly be good, and God can't possibly be bringing any good out of this. Well, I don't know what good will come out of the shattering of the pulpit in Maragongon Church. That's Our Lady of the Assumption Church. And maybe it will lead to, first of all, they'll restore it, because that pulpit is a cultural heritage treasure. And even in the article I read, the government got in on it right away, because this is a government, this is a cultural, this is a tourist attraction. You can't just let it get shattered and throw it away. So they're gathering all the pieces, and they're going to restore it, I'm sure, maybe make it better than it ever was, stronger. But so maybe some good will come out of the collapse of that pulpit. Maybe what will happen is other cultural heritage sites will look more closely at the crumbling features of their churches and say, well, we got to restore this. We can't just let things fall apart. I don't know. We don't know what good can come out of what seems evil. But in the case of Joseph, he recognized that he could not accept this situation. Either out of a rejection of what he thought was wrong, or more likely a humble admission that this mystery was beyond him, he wasn't worthy to participate, so he decides, I'm going to back off from this one. He must have been in all sorts of emotional turmoil, because how could he not be? It's too devastating to have everything get shattered. And I think it's good to stay with that for a moment, because when our life is thrown, or we get a surprise, let's say, put it more mildly, but the language of Pope Francis was the God of surprises. When we get a surprise, what do we do? There's emotional turmoil, there's questioning, there's temptations. But the right thing is to do what Joseph does. Do the best thing you know what to do. Not to turn away in anger from God, not to doubt, but to do the best thing you can and be open to being led by the Lord. Joseph gets a dream. Maybe he was having nightmares. Who knows? How could he even sleep? He probably had restless nights. Anyway, the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and told him, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Don't withdraw from the mystery. Embrace the mystery. Welcome this contradiction. Take it in faith that this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. See the complete reversal that the Lord invited Joseph to make. And then the Lord, through the angel, gave him very specific instructions. First of all, this child is conceived through the Holy Spirit. She's going to bear a son. You will name him Jesus. And his mission is declared to Joseph right away. He will save his people from their sins. That's why he's given the name Jesus. It means God saves. He's the Savior. So you are going to be the husband of the mother of the Savior. This is your mission. And that's as far as it goes. He will save his people from their sins. Now, Matthew adds a little bit here, which was not told to Joseph. It's told to us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, that's not what was said to Joseph, but perhaps Joseph did ponder that scripture. I'm sure he did eventually. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Whatever that meant to the previous ages, Matthew is saying that was a prophecy of this moment when the Blessed Virgin Mary conceives and bears a son. According to the prophecy, they will name him Emmanuel. That's not the name that the angel told Joseph. If he had said, name him Emmanuel, Joseph would immediately have recognized, oh, that's the name that comes from the scriptures. But he said, no. The angel said, no, name him Jesus, Savior. Lots of mystery here, and Joseph embraces it all. He accepts it. It doesn't mean he understands it. It doesn't mean that he didn't have any emotional reactions to it. It didn't mean he didn't face any temptations. I'm sure all those things were part of his experience. The greatness of Joseph is that he does what he's told. A man of faith doesn't rest his decisions and actions on how he feels or how circumstances change. He does what he's told. He does what God says. And this is exactly what happens. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He got up and did the will of God. As impossible as it might have seemed, and I don't know how he explained it to his friends or whatever. Who knows what was going on? He took Mary into his home. He accepted the word. So after this shattering experience, like that pulpit crashing to the floor, a new era begins, a new stage of putting himself at the service of God or at the service of the word. Joseph himself becomes a pulpit without ever saying a word. He becomes a place. He becomes a foundation on which the word can stand and be proclaimed. He's the security of both Jesus and Mary. Very firm, strong, steady foundation. That's Joseph. Later today, we're going to make a little study of Pope Francis's series on the virtues. The virtue of hope is the topic this afternoon. I was looking at it yesterday, of course. And one of the things that Pope Francis speaks about, he reflects a lot on what it's like to not have hope, the problem of being without hope. And he says what happens when people don't have hope, when something contradictory enters their life, they can rebel. They can respond in anger because their dream for the future gets stopped, or I would say shattered. And so they get angry if things are not the way they should be, and sometimes people turn away from God if they don't have the virtue of hope. Well, we'll reflect on that later, but Joseph has this virtue of hope. Even when he's shattered, he doesn't give up on God. He doesn't close his heart to God. So he's an example to us of persevering faith, of faith in the darkness, faith in the contradictions, faith that doesn't get shattered when everything else gets shattered. Strength of confidence in God, no matter how things appear. So Joseph, well, he's a great Advent figure. We only encountered him yesterday for the first time. He shows up today, he'll show up on Sunday and Sunday's Gospel, and then kind of fade into the background again. But let's learn from Joseph as we enter into this later stage of the Advent season, because Joseph shows us what it means to be prepared, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, to be steadfast in that preparation, no matter how things get shaken or shattered in our life. The Lord is our security, and when we put our trust in Him, we ourselves are secure.